Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any will open to me, I will come in and eat with him. I love that verse. Would you pray with me? And so, Lord Jesus, we are here this morning because we believe that you indeed are a God who stands at the door of our hearts this day and every day, knocking, simply wanting to share the goodness of who you are with us, wanting to share the intimacy of life with you, with us. And Lord, we are here this morning because along with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we want to open the doors of our hearts, of our lives, and let you in. We want to commune with you in this space. We want to encounter you in this space. We need to hear from you in this space. We want to lift up praises to your name, knowing that you receive them with joy in this space. We need our hearts to be encouraged by the truth of who you are and who you are in us. We want to share the love of community that you have given to us. Your goodness is truly all around us, and the goodest of it all is you, O Lord. And so could we simply enjoy this chance to worship you? And would you delight in what happens as your children gather to give you praise? We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 1. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, "Do not bother me. The door's already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it'll be given. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Living God, as we now turn our hearts and our ears to your word, we do so because we are your children. And you just promised that you love to give your children good gifts, and the gifts that our heart wants most of all is to hear from you. Because to hear from you, to know you, to encounter you, truly is the gift of life itself. And so as we lean into your word, would your spirit move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is that you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The last couple weeks, we have been with Jesus on this slow journey toward Jerusalem. You remember 3 Sundays ago in Luke chapter 9, there was a specific verse, verse 51, when he turned his face to begin that final walk to Jerusalem where he knew he would lay down his life. So we've been following a few of the scenes from that final walk with Jesus, paying attention, because we know that when somebody knows that their days are numbered, what they say and what they do carries a greater weight. They're getting their final messages across so that those who come after, those who follow, will hold on to what their legacy is supposed to be about. This is what Jesus is doing as he makes his journey to Jerusalem. If you could ask Jesus one thing that he knows how to do pretty well, that he could teach you how to do, what would you ask him to teach you? You ever thought about that? Maybe some of us would want to ask him to teach us how to heal people. He did that. Maybe some would want to ask him to teach us how to truly forgive someone, how to have peace in those storms of life. But there's someone in here that wants to learn how to exorcise some demons. That could be fun, right? How to have a really big group over for dinner without growing broke or having dirty dishes afterwards. He was good at that. What would you most like Jesus to teach you if you could ask him to teach you one thing? The disciples, in all of their time with Jesus, seeing him do all of the many amazing things that they got to see him do, they only ever ask him to teach them one thing. Jesus, teach us to pray. Why do you think, of all the things they could have asked in that final journey, why do you think learning to pray was what they most longed to learn from Jesus? I mean, they say there, would you teach us like John has taught his disciples? So maybe they're feeling kind of gypped that their rabbi's not giving out all the best tools and information like the other guy. Maybe there's that. I think there's more to this teach us to pray bit. I mean, these guys, they've been observing the rhythm of Jesus's life for a good while now, right? And if you remember way back in Luke chapter 5, verse 15 and 16, it says that the word about Jesus was spreading and crowds were coming to find him for healing every place that he went. And in Luke 5:16 says, and Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. The disciples are watching this life of the Messiah. They're watching this rhythm that he put into his life. And he would go and he would teach and he would minister and he would face all the many challenges of the day. And then he would go off somewhere and he would pray. And then he would come back and he would teach and he would minister and he would face the challenges of the day. And then he would go off somewhere and pray. Disciples had been watching. They'd been noticing all these other things that Jesus did that are amazing things. They seemed to come out of this rhythm of this life of prayer. His healings so often come right after he has been in a place of prayer. The miracles, they're usually preceded by prayer, and there's prayer infused right into the middle of them. That calm in the storm. Jesus walked on water that night and got into the boat after he had spent the night on the mountain praying. That wisdom that he had to engage all those hard questions that were always coming his way. You know that wisdom came from prayer. It seems that the disciples had this hunch that if they could just somehow learn to pray as Jesus prayed, maybe that was the key to unlock all the other things. They could just learn to pray like Jesus prayed, then maybe all those things that Jesus was doing and he's saying, now you guys, you're going to do these things too. Maybe it could really happen if they could learn to pray as Jesus prayed. Have you ever noticed how really everything in our life with God centers around prayer? Does it not? Intimacy. If you've got intimacy in your life with God, I can guarantee you it is because you are a person who lives a life of prayer. It doesn't come by accident. Powerful ministries If you're a part of a powerful ministry, I guarantee you that you are covering that ministry in prayer. If there is peace in your heart of hearts while this world is raging around us, then you have got to tell me that that's possible without prayer. It's not. If your life with Jesus is actively growing, if you're in this place in your life where you are knowing Jesus more and more every day, where you're seeing his presence more in your life, where you are more in love with him than maybe you've ever been before, I can guarantee you in this season of life, you are a praying person. All of these things flow from prayer. Everything in our life with God centers around this thing called prayer. Because really at its heart, all prayer is just someone who loves God, choosing to share their heart with God and choosing to let God share his heart with them. Is there anyone in your life who you would say you have a really close relationship with, who you rarely talk to? Probably not. Because you know that in every relationship, any marriage counselor would tell you, right, that the most integral thing for a healthy marriage, the most integral thing for a healthy relationship is what? Communication, exactly. And it is no different than our relationship with God. What's the most integral thing for a healthy, thriving life with God? It's just simply this: communication between us and him and us. And prayer is simply how we communicate with the lover of our souls. And it's how we invite him to communicate with us. And it is absolutely central to a flourishing life with God. And that's why the disciples want to know from Jesus, how do you do that? Teach us. If you teach us that, then perhaps everything else will follow. And it will. And so Jesus is glad to respond to their request. First thing he does as this good teacher is he just gives them a guide. Gives them a guide. He says, when you pray, do it like this. And Luke's version is a bit more condensed than Matthew's. He just says, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Father, Abba. It's just the word dad. The very first word of prayer. Jesus says, remember the heart of the very one that you're talking to. And this is profound that the very first word, Father. Father, not just some cosmic force. And not supreme being, and not just higher power, but Father. Father, what's a father? But one who claims us as his very own. What's a good father? But a protector and a guardian, a nurturer and a provider. Well, what's a good father? But one who absolutely delights in his children, who actually loves to love us, who actually chooses to know us. What's a good father but one who can hear the voice of their child in a crowd full of voices? That's a father. One whose heart chooses to be all tied up in how our hearts are doing. That is what it means to be a father. Jesus says, pray like this. Before you say anything else, say, Father. Remember who you're talking to. Remember his character. Remember his heart. He is a father. Has anyone ever made you feel like your prayers might be a little bit annoying to God? Yeah. Anyone ever made you feel like God's got way bigger things to do than listen to whatever might be on your heart? Anyone ever made you feel like your prayers are just putting good energy into the universe, hoping that some inanimate force might receive that energy somewhere and somehow return good to you? My friends, hear this morning that the words of Jesus says that none of that is true. Not when our prayers are going to one who has asked us to call him Father. Father. Our attempts to converse with him never annoy him. And he is never too busy doing other things to bend down and to hear his children. And he is not just good energy. He is a heart that is alive and is in loving relationship with us. Pray to your Father. Just as a child shares her biggest hurts and her deepest longings and her wildest dreams with her dad, pray like God, pray like that to the living God. He is glad to be called Father. And that's good news. Hallowed be your name. Pray that God's name be praised. So often in my prayers, I jump right to how I need God to help me. Jesus says, pray first that God's name gets to be praised, that God's name be lifted up. Pray that God's name be great in my life, that people seeing me might actually see him because they're looking at me. Pray that God's name might be great in our church, that people seeing our life together might get this glimpse of just how wonderful he is. Pray that God's name might be great in our town. What if the entire town of Belfair just knew how wonderful God is? Pray that God's name might be great in our nation. What if we talked more about him than two politicians? Wouldn't that be amazing? Pray that God's name might be great in our world. Pray that his name be lifted high. Along with the psalmist's prayer, we pray, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. When's the last time that prayer flowed from our heart? Your kingdom come. Perhaps that is the most radical prayer we can pray. How many of us in here joined Daphne a while ago when she said, your kingdom come? I mean, I heard most of your voices. Some of you didn't, and that's fair. Because those who did, do you realize what you've done? Do you realize what you've done? Because what is God's kingdom? But the reality where God is the center of everything, and everything is exactly how God actually intends for it to be. Jesus says that in that kingdom, the last are first, and the proud are humbled, and enemies become kin, and the poor have a seat at the table with the rich, and there is justice for all. And in that kingdom, we actually serve one another, and in that kingdom, nobody gets to hoard anything. And in that kingdom, we care for everyone, and we care for everything. And in that kingdom, resentments must go away, and prejudice must go away, and selfishness must go away. That's what happens when God's kingdom comes. Do you realize what you've done when we said your kingdom come? And in that kingdom, Jesus is king. That means that my schedule is not king. And that means that our politicians are not kings. And that means that our egos are not king. And that means that our needs for security are not the kings of our life. None of these things are king, because in God's kingdom, there's only one king, and Jesus is king. Amen. And so his way wins the day. And his will is how things go. When we pray how Jesus taught us to pray, and we dare to say, your kingdom come, we are actually asking for a total revolution of our hearts. We're asking for a total revolution of how society works, of how this world thinks. Did you really pray that this morning? And do you realize what you've done, what you've unleashed? Jesus says, okay, you realize it now. I dare you to pray it again. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. You know, it's okay to ask our Father to actually take care of our needs. It's okay. I know some people have made some of us feel like that's selfish. It's not. He's our Father, and he delights and caring for his children, for really big needs and for little needs alike. My mom is in town this weekend, and we're having a great time. And a couple days ago, we went to Oak Table in Silverdale for breakfast. Y'all like Oak Table, anybody? It's good. It's good if you can find a parking spot, right? Right. So we're about by Target, and I tell the whole car, I say, okay, everybody stop. And for the next 5 seconds, everyone lift up a prayer that there's a parking spot for us. And then my mom says, can we, you know, is that okay? Does God care if there's a parking spot for us at the Oak Table? And I was like, I think he can. And we just had this great conversation. Does God care or not care if we get a parking spot at the Oak Table? I think he does. I think he's big enough to take care of our everyday little needs. Maybe not. It's still up for debate. My friend Dan put up this really funny meme on his Facebook page this week, and it said, everyone's an atheist until they clog the toilet at someone else's house. And all of a sudden, we need some help from God, do we not? Can we ask God for what we need? And can we even sometimes just ask him for what we really want in that moment? I mean, children aren't afraid to ask their parents for those things, are they? And God tells us to call him Father. So what does it hurt to just ask for what our hearts need and sometimes even what our hearts maybe just want? Give us each day our daily bread. I think there's more to this part of Jesus' prayer too, though. Give us each day our daily bread. Does it stir up any Old Testament stories for you? Does this sound just a little bit like what God did for his children in the wilderness way back in Exodus, where each day, one day at a time, there was that manna from heaven for them to eat again? And do you remember what their instructions were with that manna? To take only what your household needs for this day. God said, there will be more tomorrow, so do not hoard it. And they tried, didn't they? Remember that? They tried to hoard it. And what happened to what they tried to hoard? It spoiled before they got to eat it anyway. So now they had moldy bread to deal with. He says, just take what you need and leave your neighbor what they need. And trust that God will provide this daily bread again tomorrow and the next day and the next day for 40 whole years every single day. And if I'm being honest with you, my brothers and sisters, I can tell you, I can confess to you that this part of the Lord's Prayer is the part that I can pray with the least amount of stirring in my soul. I can just pray right through it and not even think twice. Because it can feel a little bit strange for me to pray for God to give me daily bread when I know in the back of my mind that right now in this moment, my pantry is full of white bread and wheat bread and tortillas and maybe even some Hostess donuts. I have got bread upon bread, and it's going to last me all week. And I already know in the back of my mind that there's already enough money in the bank to cover next week's bread. And now there's bread on my desk too, isn't there? Kara brought more bread this morning, and there's bread everywhere. And I'm not saying that all of this is necessarily wrong, but I am saying that it does make me pause. It makes me wonder in my heart of hearts if my self-sufficiency sometimes begins to border on sinfulness. Or maybe not just border, maybe it's there. I mean, do I work so hard to take care of myself because I don't really, in my heart of hearts, trust that God will provide for me day after day if I don't do it myself? And is my storing up three kinds of bread when my neighbor has no bread, is that okay? Is it okay to have a closet full of clothes for myself when I have neighbors whose shoes are falling apart? You see, I fear that my detachment from this part of Jesus' prayer is less of an indictment on how out of touch Jesus is with the middle-class American these days. And I think it's more of an indictment on how my self-sufficiency keeps me at more of a distance from my God and from my neighbor than I want to admit. Just causes me to pause. And forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us. Those who have been completely forgiven are eager to forgive. In Jesus' prayer, it's one breath. Forgive us as we gladly forgive them. You see, we cannot ask for God's grace if we are not willing to be agents of that same grace in this world. Jesus is willing to forgive us of anything, everything. The days that we have treated him the very worst of all, he cries out from the cross, Father, forgive them. And all he asks is that we might return the favor in extending that same forgiveness one to another. You see, life with God demands forgiveness. And when you've been really hurt, forgiveness is hard. And it seems that Jesus would indicate prayer. Prayer is how we will get there. And don't bring us to the time of trial. In prayer, we're asking the Father to protect us from anything that might cause us to fall away. Come thou fount, the hymn, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Does my heart not resonate with those words when we sing them? We've got this God who knows our weak points. He knows all of those things that so often try to lead us astray. And we ask God each day to keep those things just out of our path altogether. Before they ever come our way, oh God, give us the strength we will need to stand firm in you and with you. When we ask God to keep us from trial or keep us from temptation, what we are doing is we are admitting to God that we are vulnerable and we are fragile. And yes, we are even flaky. We hate that word, but we are sometimes. And we are weak. But we want to. We want to stand strong. We want to be steady for Jesus. So we say, God, before anything comes my way today, know my heart, know my weakness, and protect me because I want to be with you the end of this day. We pray. Jesus gives a guide for how we can pray. Then he, as a good teacher, rather than just say how, he begins to answer why. Why do we pray? And he gives a parable for that. A parable of a friend that comes to another friend's house at midnight asking for bread because a surprise guest showed up and he's got nothing to feed him. And this culture that Jesus is speaking to is a culture that centers hospitality. And so to maintain your very own honor, if someone without a place to stay comes to your house, you have got to let them in. And not just let them in, but you have got to feed them too. And if you do not, then you are shamed. And so the friend has done the first step. He's let him into his house, but his pantry is empty. And so he goes next door and he knocks on the door. Please, I need some bread. And the father of the house responds, it's midnight. It's midnight. I'm asleep. The kids are asleep. They all shared one common room. So that means he has to step over kids' mats to get to the door. And once a kid's asleep, you do not wake that kid up, right? I'm learning that these days. He says, I this is more hassle than it's worth. I can't get to you right now. You're putting us out. We cannot help you. He's knock, knock, knock. Please, I need bread. I really need bread. And at some point, the father of the house realizes, you know what? We're going to have a way bigger disturbance trying to ignore this neighbor than just giving him the bread already. And so totally frustrated, he opens the door and says, take it. Have a good night. And Jesus says, if nothing else, that man's persistence will get him that bread. So what is he telling us about why to pray? This parable can be annoying for some people. Is he saying because in prayer, we will eventually annoy God enough to just finally give us what we want? Not that, right? Surely not that. You see, Jesus isn't making this one-to-one comparison between the Father of the house and God our Father here. What Jesus is doing is he is saying, if this neighbor, if even this neighbor will eventually do what his needy friend is asking, just because he is annoyed at his persistence, how much more will our God, who deeply cares for us, who's called Father, and who has access to all the bread in the world, who has access to all the peace in the world, who has access to all the open doors in the world, how much more will he be eager to respond to our request? Not out of annoyance at all, but out of his great love for us. Not out of obligation, but because he delights in caring for us. If even an annoyed neighbor can help his friend out, how much more will the God who tells you to call him Father move heaven and earth to show you how much he loves you? How much more? Why pray? Because we've got a Father God who desperately wants to show you how much more he absolutely delights in just taking care of you. How much more? What happens when we pray? What happens? Jesus closes his teaching on prayer with just a few statements. Ask, it'll be given. Search, you'll find. Knock, the door will be open to you. Everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, the door's open. Is this true? Have you ever gotten from God everything you asked for in prayer? Ask and you'll have. Have you found the answer to every question you've searched for in prayer? Have you ever knocked at the door of heaven, begging God to show you he was there? And at the end of that, didn't so much feel he was there at all. I mean, if we're being honest, can we say together, vulnerably perhaps, this hasn't always seemed true. So many prayers that I've been praying for years, still no answer I can see. So much searching and understanding, still waiting for an answer. So much knocking and still feeling alone. Why did Jesus say something that sounds so very sure, but our lived experience has left us a bit unsure? Why? Well, what's the rest of it say? Helps to read the whole thing, right? If your child asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If she asks for an egg, will you give her a scorpion? Of course not. If you who are evil, meaning you who are people who sin, you who are people whose hearts aren't always pure and selfless, if even you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask him. We've got to read the full passage to get the full promise. And the full promise is way better than just all my prayers get answered. You see, Jesus isn't guaranteeing that anything we ever ask in prayer, if we just ask it enough times, we will get it. And thanks be to God for that, right? Because boy, did I pray a lot of prayers in high school for some very certain boyfriends that I can thank him, that I didn't just annoy him enough to say, okay, fine, take him, right? Thanks be to God for that. What Jesus is guaranteeing is ask for the Holy Spirit and your Father God will gladly give you his Spirit. Yeah. Search for the Spirit. Look for how God is moving. Desire to see how God is at work and you will begin to find God on the move everywhere you look. Knock on heaven's door, asking for more life at home with the Spirit, for more intimacy with God himself. And God says, you can have all of that you want. You can have all, the door will be open to you. Here's the thing about prayer. What does it do? What does it do when we pray? It opens our heart to real life with God's Spirit. Talking to the living God, we become more in step with God Himself. Sitting in the presence of God, we start to see things, hear things, feel things more like God Himself sees, hears, and feels. Listening to the voice of God, we begin to become who God has always dreamed for us to be. Prayer is choosing to live in communion with our God. And Jesus says, as you pray, it is God's good pleasure to give you what your heart wants and needs the most. And what is that? It's the Spirit. What we want, what we need the most, is just more of God Himself. And Jesus is teaching on prayer. He says, through prayer, you can have as much of God as you want. Is that good news or what? Anybody want more of God in your life? Ask, seek, knock, and God will gladly give you more and more of Himself. He has promised it. What happens when we pray? We start wanting more of God. And Jesus says, you want more. How much more? Because you can have however much of the Holy Spirit as you want. And prayer is how we get more and more God in us. I don't know about you, but that gets me all kinds of excited. God has offered us all of Himself. And prayer is how we enter that life with Him. Don't miss the gift of prayer, my friends. Heaven literally comes to us when we pray. So why not pray right now, every day? Why not pray? You want more, God? You can have all of me you want, He says. Here's how. Let us pray. So, Father God, I do. I can't speak for all of us. But I believe most of us in this place, in our heart of hearts, if we could ask you for anything, it wouldn't be a cure to this or more money in this account. If we could ask for anything, it would be just for more of you, oh God. Because that's what our souls long for most of all. You've put that longing in us. And you didn't just put it there to leave it undisturbed. You put it there so we might be a people who spend our lives asking and seeking and knocking and saying, more of you, God, more of you, God, more of you, God. What I have is so good. Could there possibly be more? And every time we ask, you say, yes, there's more. Yes, there's more. Oh, thank you that you're a generous God. You're generous in how you provide for us. But most of all, you're generous in just the relationship that you choose to enter into with us. What a gift. Thank you for the gift of prayer, that this very week we can have all the Holy Spirit we want as we pray with our Jesus, the prayer you've taught us. And the prayers you put on our heart along the way. Oh, could we enjoy life with you this week, oh Lord? Could we have more of you when we come here next Sunday than we have this Sunday? Because we have been a praying people. Let it be so. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.